We read together Psalm 31, the 31st Psalm. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquities, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to my acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Our text for this evening is the first part of the first verse of this psalm. Psalm 31, verse 1, the first part. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. We sang that a moment ago, beloved. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shamed let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and answer me. Only that was taken from Psalm 71, where you find the very same thought expressed by the psalmist. This is a psalm of David, and was spoken, obviously, when he was in deep distress. When, we do not know. It may be that he wrote, composed, and sang this psalm when he was fleeing from King Saul. And people traitorously turned against him to find favor with King Saul. It may even be that it was in the time of the rebellion of Absalom, when David had to flee from Jerusalem, and when it seemed that the whole kingdom had turned against him. Whatever the circumstances, the psalmist complains of his enemies, his very neighbors. He was despised, he was scorned, he was mocked, so that those who met him turned away, lest they should have to talk to him. And nevertheless, throughout this psalm, there is the repeated confession, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. You have that in verse 1 already. You have that again in verse 6. But I trust in the Lord. You have that again in verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. And at the conclusion of the psalm, he says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's the keynote. We should remember, beloved, that this psalm is messianic. That's true, of course, of all the psalms. But that becomes especially evident in this psalm because our Lord, at the end of his suffering on the cross, proclaimed his victory by quoting out of Psalm 31, into thy hands I commit my spirit. There's something nice about that, you know. Christ sang already in David, sang in the church of the old dispensation of his trust. that he works by his Spirit in his people. Christ sang this psalm himself on Calvary. And now by his Spirit he gives us grace that we may sing it. And it's only by his grace and Spirit that you and I can ever make this confession, which John must make, that we all must make. In thee, O Jehovah, do I put my trust. Finally, we should notice yet that it's a prayer. And so I'd like to call your attention to a prayer for trust in God, or a prayer of trust in God. I'd like to have you notice, first of all, the contents of it. Secondly, the incentive, the assurance expressed. And finally, the prayer. The word for trust, beloved, in this particular verse is to hide, to seek shelter. The psalmist says, in thee, O Jehovah, do I hide. In thee do I seek shelter. Later in the psalm, he uses another word for trust. A word that really means to cast oneself upon Jehovah. To cast oneself in complete dependence upon him and to cling to him and to expect help only from him. That, of course, is a thought that runs through many psalms. It's quite amazing if you go to the concordance and you check how many psalms speak of the trust of God's people in the Lord. Very, very many. It's also important to notice that trust is an essential part of faith. You know, our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in Lord's Day 7 that faith consists first of a certain knowledge, a sure knowledge. Secondly, of a hearty confidence or trust. We must know, of course. Faith is knowledge. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. Faith is to know God, the only true and living God, not merely as God, but to know him as my God. That's faith. Faith doesn't simply say God, doesn't simply say God is God. Faith is a certain knowledge, a sure knowledge. My God, that's faith. Moreover, faith is trust. And that's why throughout the Psalms you find that repeated confession of trust. Trusting in the Lord. You have, for example, Psalm 46. God is a refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We shall not fear the earth that shake. The Lord is nigh to cheer us. Or again, round about Zion is the Lord. For Zion is a safe refuge, a high tower. For God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You know, faith is that childlike trust of a little child that nestles in the arms of mother and sleeps peacefully even when the storm is raging, the thunder rattles and the lightning flashes. Childlike confidence that causes and not be afraid of the barking dog or of any danger because daddy is there. Trust is faith in God as our God. That means, beloved, that means first of all that God has the first place in our lives as the object of our love and of our fear. You know, we as Protestant Reformed people like to stress the sovereignty of God. That's good. I'm very happy about that. But we should not rest on our laurels as if now we have attained. There's really something more, something higher. And that is that we confess that to God must be all the glory, always, in everything. He's not only sovereign God, he's the ever-blessed, adorable God that must have all the praise and all the honor eternally. That's what Jesus teaches us. When Jesus taught us the model prayer, he told us to say, first of all, as our first and chief desire, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that doesn't mean that we simply say that once in a while. That means that that must be the keynote of our prayer. That means that that must be our one chief desire. That to God may be the glory in all things. To God may be the glory also in our lives. That God is first. That we love Him above all. You know, the Westminster Confession begins with the question, what is the highest good? And the answer is covenant fellowship with the living God. Well, that's true in a sense. Not really. The highest good for you and me is that God receive the glory in all things. Now, that was Paul's desire, you know. Paul says, whether I live or whether I die doesn't make any difference, essentially. If only God is glorified, whether it be by my life or whether it be by my death, God must be glorified. And that is also the chief end of man, of you and me. And beloved, if we're going to say this in our lives, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, then we must begin there. God is God, the ever blessed, adorable God, to whom be the glory forever and ever. In the second place, that implies that we live in God consciousness. I mean, that we realize every moment that God is God. That we realize every moment that He is attaining His glory. That all things do redound to His glory. Because all things are by His almighty power. Nothing happens apart from His power. That's true in your life, that's true in my life. Just to mention one thing. If your parents had not, through some small incident likely, met, fell in love, and were married, you wouldn't be here. And I'm sure if I would ask you married folk, how come you met and how come you are married, then you'd say, oh yeah, that's just a few small incidences, really. Almost without exception, we admit a little thing, a very little thing brought it all about, began it all, and it all ended up in our marriage. But that little thing, beloved, was of the Lord, or you wouldn't be married and your children wouldn't be here. That's true every moment. You know, tomorrow morning, we might tend to get up a little late. We might start dashing off to work. I'm always surprised how busy, how in a hurry everybody is in the morning. They'll race past you no matter how. But tomorrow morning when the stoplight stops you, or a train comes in front of you, and you sit there tugging at your steering wheel and wishing that that obstacle would get out of your way, that you could hurry up, then stop a moment, will you? And remind yourself that God put that stoplight there, and God put that train there, or whatever obstacle there might be, God did that to remind you that you're not running your life, but He is. And that applies to everything. All things, large and small, pleasant and unpleasant, sunshine and rain, seed time and harvest, health and sickness, all things come to us from the almighty power of God. And we should be conscious of that. Moreover, that God is our Father, who sends us all things in His love. For as a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon those who fear Him. He is a merciful God. who knows what's best for us. And when you tend to complain, oh, you know, what I hate to hear, and I suppose you do too, is when people complain about the weather. They're always complaining about the weather. It's too hot, or it's too cold, it's too damp, or it's too dry, it's this or it's that. Sometimes I think by myself, I don't know how God can stand it. As if all those specks of dust know how to run this universe and know how to control the weather. Especially, we as children of God, we should never complain. Never! Always living in the consciousness that everything that happens to us comes to us from the merciful hand of our Father, which is in heaven. Beloved, that's the point of view of the text, don't forget. Oh, you may have times in your life when it seems like it's all wrong. Everything's all wrong. Never going to be good again. You may have times that you're so distressed that you don't know where to turn. That you toss about in your bed at night in anxiety and bitter anguish. Those times come. Those are the times that the psalmist is talking about. Those were his experiences, beloved. Just as Christ suffered torments of hell and the opposition of the whole world, the scorn and mockery of all men, so David, in prophecy, went through those same experiences, and you do too. Then especially, we must say, I trust in thee, O Jehovah. I hide myself in thee. I flee to thee, my refuge, my high tower, my God, in whom I may trust. Oh, there are enemies. You know, it's quite remarkable how the Psalms talk about enemies. And maybe you feel that you don't have any enemies, and when you read some of those Psalms, you get an idea it doesn't apply to you. Well, it does, beloved. You know, there was a woman whose husband died. A young girl was staying by her house. And this woman was always reading the Psalms that spoke of enemies. And that young girl came to me and said, what in the world is the matter with her? She finds her comfort in reading about enemies. Well, the young girl didn't understand, of course, that in your greatest distresses, your enemies are often the strongest. The devil likes to use those moments of distress and sorrow, of doubts and fears. He likes to use those. He likes to sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear all kinds of deception, all kinds of lies. Now there's the world round about, of course. The world that looks at you and says, as it were, where is now your God in whom you trusted? What happened to your God? And as the psalmist says here, God seems far away because of our flesh. Our flesh often stands as a barrier between us and God. and darkness floods our soul. It is as if we draw all the shades that the sun can shine in, and we sit in horrible darkness until we learn to say with the psalmist, and that's what it means, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I flee to thee. I cast myself upon thee only. Help me, Lord, save me. You ask what was the incentive, what drove that psalmist out to God, what was his assurance, his confidence. The answer is in the last part of this verse. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You know, beloved, that's beautiful. Just think about that a moment. Thy righteousness. In the modern church world, you don't hear much of righteousness. You hear a lot about love. They like to harp on God is love. They like to talk about a loving Jesus. But they've forgotten the word righteousness. And that word, beloved, was the strength, the confidence of the psalmist. In thy righteousness. When we say, in thee I trust, we say, first of all, I trust thy righteousness. Sure. Don't forget it. Don't ever forget that. Whatever you do. That brings us, beloved, first of all, to the cross. You know, sometimes you hear said that on Calvary all our sins were wiped away. The slate was wiped clean. Not really. Not really. Certainly not in the sense that God ignores sin. Not in the sense as if a loving God can act as if there never was sin or transgression. Not at all. Oh no. The cross speaks of something quite different. The cross declares to us that there we stood on trial with all our sin, with all our guilt, all our transgressions. And there we were condemned under the righteous judgment of a living God. And there we were sentenced to die. Die the accursed death. And there we died and suffered torment of hell for all our sins. In, beloved, in Christ Jesus. That's the wonder of Calvary, that the righteous God tried us, condemned us, sentenced us, punished us, delivered us, saved us through the death of his only begotten Son in pure righteousness. That's true in our experience too, you know. I talked to a man a short time ago who was converted. He told me that a minister had said to him, God love you. He said to that minister, God love me? No, that can't be. If God is holy, if God is God, he cannot love a sinner like me. Can't be done. The preacher said, all you have to do is accept him. I accept him, he says. Why, man, I wouldn't accept him. I hate him. But he said, I found out that God took hold of me. And he said, when God took hold of me, I was down on the floor weeping, crying in anguish of soul as a wretched sinner under the righteous judgment of a living God. Beloved, that's conversion. And if you and I don't know what that is, then we've never been converted. Never. Conversion is that we realize that God is God, that we have sinned against the most holy God, and that we confess with David, against thee have I sinned and did this evil before thy face in thy sight, and I stand condemned. And it's only, beloved, in that confession that God assures us forgiven in the blood and atonement of Jesus Christ. And it's only in the assurance of that daily forgiveness in Jesus Christ that we have any joy of salvation. Oh, I've heard people say it dozens of times, hundreds of times. If I look at myself, no. If I look at myself, there's no hope. If God would leave it up to me, I'd perish. But salvation is from the Lord in his righteousness. In thee, O Lord, do I trust, for thou art righteous. The God who saves in righteousness. Oh, there's a little more here. And that's that name Jehovah. Lord here is in capital letters. That's Jehovah. That's a very special name, you know. It's very special. Jehovah was the name whereby Israel knew him. As their God. Jehovah was the God of Israel in distinction from all the heathen gods. He was the only true and living God. That's why they feared that name. They never really pronounced it, spoke it, because it was so full of glory as their God. You remember that there was a son of a Israelitish woman and an Egyptian man who cursed by taking that name on his lips. In blasphemy, he said, Jehovah. I don't know in what connection, but that's what he said. And immediately all the people threw up their hands in horror, And they led him away out of the camp. And they asked the Lord, what must we do with someone like that? And the Lord said, stone. That's how important that name is. Oh, I wish that our children would realize how important that name of God is, and how holy, and how powerful that third commandment, as well as our grown-ups, of course. But beloved, it's a beautiful name for God's people. Jehovah means He is the Almighty. All power belongs to Him. He not only bestows all things on us, bestows our daily bread according to His wisdom, supplies all our needs in His goodness. He leads us by His hand and guides us by His counsel as Almighty God. Jehovah, the Almighty. It means, in the second place, He is Jehovah, the I Am, the unchangeable, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the eternal God, who alone is God, whose presence fills the heavens, whose presence fills the earth. Is God above all, blessed forever. And finally, it means that that almighty, unchangeable God is faithful. He keeps covenant. In fatherly love for His children. So that, beloved, not one hair falls from your head without His will. The smallest microbe, the smallest germ is in His power. Nothing befalls us, not only by His will, but in His love. For as a father has compassion on his children, he has compassion on us. And it is in that confidence that we can say, in thee, Jehovah, the only true and living God, my God, in thee I put my trust. But notice, this is a prayer. And although it's a confession, it nevertheless remains a prayer. That's evident, first of all, from what follows. Shamed let me never be. Those who trust in horses, or in chariots, or in the arm of the flesh, or in gold, or in silver, in their possessions, or whatever, are always put to shame. You can't help but think of our own country, that always boasted that we were the greatest among all the nations. Shamefacedly, we have to admit that Cuba sends its people here and we stand helpless. Iran keeps our hostages and we stand helpless. God has given confusion of face so that the country doesn't know where to turn. Why? Because we have a form of godliness, but we deny the God who's the power behind it all. Oh, that can be true so easy in our lives, you know. There was a man who one time boasted that he was insured insured to the hilt. He said, they can take anything away from me, I'm insured, down to the flashlight in my house. I carry life insurance, I carry property insurance, I carry car insurance, business insurance, I'm insured. He put his trust in that. I visited him shortly after in the hospital. He had cancer. It was terminal. And he had to admit that he needed a better insurance before he could die. All his boast was gone. He needed a God whom he should have trusted in the first place. I don't say that all insurance is wrong. That's up to you. But I do say it's wrong when you put your trust in it. And anything is wrong when you put your trust in it. Because God puts to shame anyone who trusts in anything apart from him. But God's people can say, let me never be ashamed. Let never the enemy triumph over me. For in thee I trust. In the second place, it's a prayer, deliver me, Lord. And that's a prayer we need every day. A prayer for sanctification. A prayer for grace to resist Satan, to oppose the world, to fight the enemy within the gates, our own sinful flesh. That ultimately we may say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, beloved, it's a prayer for trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Don't you know, as a child puts his hand in daddy's hand and says, now squeeze it, hold me tight, that I may always trust in thee. That's Psalm 62. My soul in silence waits for God. Oh, in the previous psalm, the psalmist had said, lead me, lead me. I can't get there. Lead me to the rock that is too high for me. And now he says, my soul in silence waits for God. That, beloved, is submission. Thy will be done. Teach me to say, thy will be done. That is trust. Teach me to rely on thee always, in all things, every moment. That's hope. Lead me on the way everlasting. Afterward to take me to glory. Do you say that? May God give you and me and each one of us grace to say just that. In thee, O Lord, Jehovah, I trust now and evermore. Amen. Father in heaven, teach us to trust in thee. Give us grace to flee always to thee, the high tower, a rock in a weary land, a strong refuge in the storm, a high tower over against all our enemies. Save us, Lord, day by day, that in simple childlike faith we may put all our trust in Thee, never daring to venture forth without Thee, that in Thee may be our hope, our longing, our joy, our blessedness. To Thee may be the glory forever and ever. Amen.